Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Once again, we take an hour to explore health, healing, reconciliation, overcoming major conditions, preventing them, that's the most important thing we can do, and also looking at life issues, something we're all facing today. That's our hour. But a lot of details are going to be shared in that hour. For example, we began with a traditional Chinese medicine university. They found, and this was published in the Journal of Nature Scientific Reports, very respected journal, that vitamin D3 intake is associated with decreased insulin resistance among diabetics. I have found from my personal experience that if people follow certain protocols in lifestyle and behavior modification, they can go from diabetic with neuropathies and problems to normal. And it's been done thousands of times. I've even done clinical studies on it. However, the average person doesn't want to make a lot of changes. That's unfortunate, but that's a reality. So they end up with all kinds of problems, both diabetics and pre-diabetics. And between the two, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 million Americans, about 25 to 30% of the entire population. That's not good. But this is what is known as a meta-analysis and systematic review. And what they found was this. When you have higher levels of vitamin D3, you have improved insulin, glucose, and insulin resistance in people with type 2 diabetes. And why not go on a healthy vegan diet? Why not exercise 3 times a day, right after meals? That'll bring down your blood sugar levels. And then there are nutrients like chromium picolinate that will help the B complex, will help vitamin C, will help as well. According to a new study from the American Chemical Association, or Society, microgreens and mature vegetables differ in nutrients, but both might limit weight gain. Now, young vegetables, known as micro because they're small, are reputed to be particularly good for our health. In fact, the science shows that. They actually contain more in that little tiny body as a microgreen than some of the larger vegetables. And that's why I suggest you have in your salad some radicchio, some radishes, onion, all these different types of sprouts. And there's probably 50 different microgreens you could sprout. Only takes about 3 weeks, and you now have a bountiful amount. You could do it on your own countertop. But these young microgreens, which people generally keep at the side of a dish, like a garnish, but they don't eat it, you should be eating it. It might be worth more than everything else on your plate. And you can grow them at home. Well, they're now considered a superfood. And how they compare to mature vegetables? Well, a mature vegetable might take 90 days to grow. These grow in about 3 weeks. And they're power-packed. I can eat about a bowlful in a day. And that probably only weighs about 1.5 ounces or 2 ounces. But what happens is this. They're rich in chlorophyll. Many of them are cruciferous in nature, like broccoli sprouts is your number one sprout. And that helps give the body what is called indole 3-carbinol and isothiocyanates. These are anti-cancer nutrients that help our body prevent cancer. And if you have cancer, helps protect the rest of the body. Anyhow, results to date show their nutritional profile differ, as do their effects on gut bacteria. Yet, tests in mice suggest that both microgreens and mature vegetables can limit weight gain. After all, if you're hungry, all right, fine, and you eat a big salad, I mean, it's going to fill you up. Now, for your protein, you can put in some beans. Beans are low in calories, high in fiber, but quality protein, generally about 7 to 9 grams of protein for a cup of beans. You can also put some nuts in there. You can gently roast some pine nuts, walnuts. You can spice them up, put them in there. And you can have bok choy, Chinese cabbage, different tomatoes, cucumbers, celery. You can have all these wonderful things in your salad. Now, at the end of the meal, you're full, but you also have probiotics in there, prebiotics. That's going to help colonize good gut bacteria. That's important. Good fiber is going to sweep old dead cells and undigested food out of the intestine. And that's also good. The more regular you are, the healthier you're going to be, because the health of your intestine directly affects the health of your immune system. Simply stated, healthy food, clean, healthy immune system. Bad food, garbage food, meat, sugar, processed carbohydrates, fried food, deep-fried food, barbecued food, unhealthy gut, unhealthy immune system. Oh, and by the way, one of the best of the microgreens is red cabbage. Now, full head of red cabbage is great. And when it's fully grown and fed to mice on a high-fat diet, the cabbage changed how the nutrients were eaten and assimilated and digested in the body. And by the way, red cabbage sauerkraut is terrific for you. Get the low-sodium variety, right? Because some sauerkraut might have 500 milligrams per serving. You don't want anything that high. Look at the label, because labels by law are required to tell you how much sodium is in a serving. Remember, you only need about 800 to 1,000 milligrams of sodium a day. Some people will have 2,000 milligrams of sodium from a single meal. All right, and French fries are the worst. Now, from the University of Gothenburg, which is in Sweden, good cardiorespiratory fitness is associated with 40% lower risk of 9 cancers. What do I mean? I mean when you're exercising, when you're doing aerobic exercise, resistance training, you're helping your cardiorespiratory system. You're getting it fit. And that's associated with 40% lower risk of developing 9 specific cancers later on, or at least in men, suggesting a long-term study published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. So they're talking about head cancers, neck cancers, esophageal cancer, stomach, pancreas, liver, bowel, kidney, and lung. So if you can have 40% lower risk of those cancers by doing about an hour worth of exercise a day, it's worth it. So cardiovascular and respiratory fitness refers to a person's ability to do aerobic exercises such as running, cycling, swimming for a sustained period, or even to climb stairs up and down, up and down, up and down. All of that lowers your risk of certain cancers. All right? But the more exercise you do, to a degree, the less cancer you're going to have. And there was 1 million people in this particular study. So it's a good study. Again, something easy to do. And a good study out of George Washington University School of Medicine, especially for people in menopause suffering from hot flashes and are using synthetic hormone replacement therapy. Well, guess what? But 500 of you already knew this because you were in the clinical study I did about 20 years ago. 500 of you, that's all that would fit in the room. And every week for 1 year, 52 meetings we had, and we had one diet, a healthy, assorted vegan diet. Lots of living foods, lots of juices, lots of herbs like Dong Quai, Fo Tai, Vitex, and everything that was happening in a menopausal person's body stopped or changed. I remember we took photographs of everyone's hands to get their fingernails, their skin, their neck, and their hair and face up close. And boy, when there's no makeup and you're getting a close-up face shot, some people said, let me get some makeup. No. Because this is the before. You'll be happy with the after a year from now. Well, here's what we found a year later. Nails that were flecked and ridged and yellowish and fungus, fingernails, toenails, nice, clean, smooth, and hard, pink. Hair that was thinning on the eyebrows, filled in. Thyroid gland improved. Metabolism improved. Heart rate came down. That's good. Blood sugar came down. Hair started to grow where people were thinning and balding. Very thin hair became thicker. and strength, muscle started to return instead of fat. Hot flashes gone. Yeah, night sweats gone. Yeah, a fatigue. And also things such as not being able to get a good night's sleep. They now had good night's sleep. Immune system strong. That was a good study. So this is saying part of that. They don't have the supplements in here. But what they're saying here is simple. A good vegan diet, and that's what we're talking about now, is just as effective as the hormone therapy. But let's just say you had hormone therapy, and I'm opposed to all synthetic hormone therapy. I debated the Surgeon General, Jocelyn Elders, on national television on this very topic. And I was surprised that she was not aware. I don't believe in trying to beat people in a debate. To the contrary, when she made a wrong answer, I would come in and say, if she would have extended her thoughts, she would have said that, yes, we need hormone therapy, but we need natural hormone therapy, because synthetic hormone therapy done to almost 10 million women a year increases your risk by 13% minimal of heart attack, stroke, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, and dementia. And this is important that we don't want to sacrifice women's bodies just so the pharmaceutical industry can make more profit. You know, afterwards she came over and gave me a hug and said, thank you, because there are a lot of things I didn't know. And I gave her the book by Barbara Seaman and I, 1,600 pages for women only. Hopefully she read it and used it. Well, according to the University of Colorado Cancer Center, one herb has a triple action against skin cancer and photoaging. So, if you need something besides toxic sunscreen, protect against skin cancer, how about the herb milk thistle? Milk thistle, easy to get. It's already well known for its ability to help the liver detoxify itself, but evidently has several important effects on our skin, too. Milk thistle, that's T-H-I-S-T-L-E, protects against photoaging or ultraviolet damage and effectively blocks both ultraviolet A and ultraviolet B induced skin carcinogens. Studies at the University of Colorado Cancer Center found that the extract of the milk thistle plant was exceptional at preventing skin cancer and photoaging. That's good news. And finally, from Stanford University School of Medicine, a study identifies brain areas altered during hypnotic trances. Scientists scanned the brains of 57 people during guided hypnosis sessions, similar to those that might be used clinically to treat anxiety, pain, and trauma. Distinct sections of the brain have altered activity and connectivity while someone is hypnotized. They report in a study that will be published in Cerebral Cortex. So they're saying that now they know which brain regions are involved. And that's important because I've seen in my career the tremendous benefit of guided hypnotherapy helping people with anxiety. In fact, at the Tri-State Healing Center, we had 3 board-certified psychologists, including Dr. Lane Kahn, Dr. Donald Mullen, and another that I will not mention his name because I didn't. He's alive, and want it mentioned, but what we would find when people came in with AIDS, and these were not people HIV positive with no symptoms, these were all people who were sick, and they didn't know what to do. And frequently they were taking AZT or one of the drugs, or their partners were, and they were getting sick. Yet they were told, oh, it's not the drugs. Yeah, it was the drugs. And so when they came in, first of all, our office, I decorated and designed it so it didn't look like a medical office. I didn't want the doctors wearing lab coats and gloves and masks. Instead, it was a very tropical, beautiful environment with soothing flute music and harp playing. There was a waterfall, the tropical plants hanging, not fake plants, real ones, bamboo floor in one of the rooms with tables, or not, but comfort chairs. You just lay back and put your feet up, and you were just aromatherapy. But people had an anxiety because the word was if you had HIV, you were going to die, and probably within months at the beginning. So the hypnotherapist would work with them and give a different message. Yes, you have a virus, and yes, the virus is serious, but we're serious too, and we're the enemy of that virus, and we're going to build up your immune system to protect you, but we're also going to go after the virus. And suddenly you would see people after a session, and they're saying, I wasn't hypnotized. I said, yeah, you were. No, I wasn't. Suddenly their hand would go in the air. We wanted to show them, yeah, you were hypnotized. You're hearing everything going on in the hypnotic session. And these were really experienced hypnotherapists. But also I found that they could go back in to a person's background, to where they had trauma or pain of some kind, emotional pain, and reprogram that to eliminate the negative and infuse the positive. And suddenly people, they had changes. And so people would come in with smiles on their face, looking forward to their therapy, and the whole environment was one that was upbeat. We had that for 15 years. Not a single one of the 2,000 people, 1,200 from 1984 on, but over almost 900 before then, from 74 to 84, when I was working with one of the leading gay doctors, New York, Dr. Stephen Kaiser, and he'd send me patients he couldn't help. He said, I can't help you. And we'd get their health back. Unfortunately, though the Townsend Letter for Doctors and Physicians, highly respected, published the longest article in their history on this. And I wrote a textbook edited by Professor Jim Feast with over 3,000 scientific references showing natural approaches to helping the immune system for those with HIV infection. The word was out. One truth only, AZT. Everything else, don't use. That's unfortunate, but that's what happened. In any case, there are people alive today who used hypnotherapy, eliminated their anxiety and fears. And boy, do we need that now. So if you're one of those people out there living with some form of existential angst, you're thinking of suicide, you've given up on trying to figure out life is too complicated because of all the different moving pieces, all that seem contradictory and antagonistic, you might want to reach out to a licensed PhD who specializes in regressive hypnosis. It can make a difference. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break and come back. I have a very special guest, and I believe that you need to hear her story. You can also go to GaryNull.com for all of my latest articles. Also, if you go down PRN.live, scroll down to archives, then scroll further, I send our team in New York articles every day to post that I can't get into, but it's frequently from these articles that I've extracted information for you. So you get to do more in-depth reading and see a lot of the documentation. Additionally, go to Gary Nall YouTube because of my classroom on the air. Now today, yesterday I did a classroom on the air dealing with how to repurpose your life in a positive way, especially if you've mastered your life, you've done a good job, but now you're kind of bored and you don't know what to do. Comfort is the worst thing you should be seeking at that point, because when we get comfortable, we start losing that sharpness of awareness or critical thinking or disciplines. So it's to motivate people and show what you can do to master life all over again, no matter what your age. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Now to our guest who's standing by. My guest is Dr. Meryl Nass. That's N-A-S-S. She's a board-certified physician. She has a very strong background. She has a background in epidemiology, studying as a scientist, studying the anthrax vaccine. And she's been an advocate for decades for those in our service who were suffering from Gulf War syndrome, even from the first Gulf War. She's also a person that looks at the science, studies it, and then asks simple questions. how did this happen? Is this accurate? For example, she was one of the people who blew the whistle about all these U.S. bioweapon labs all over the world. Who knew that we had all of them, you know, between 23 and 26 of these bio labs that are using gain-of-function research, which is really just a sanitized word for biological weapons, meaning they're there to hurt or kill people. And but long before those 23 and the 26 were made us aware of by Gloria Nuland in Senate hearing, kind of surprised the world, we already had these all over the planet. And yet we pay billions of dollars to maintain these. And these are all in violation of different laws or treaties or moratoriums that we put into effect over the decades. So just understand, when you're dealing with gain of function, you're dealing with biological weapons. We don't need these. And she's one of the advocates to say we don't need these. But more importantly, during COVID, she, like many other physicians and scientists, found that as a trained physician, especially one who's helped people who had very exotic type of diseases manifest in the body that no one had seen before, from Gulf War syndrome, because in the first Gulf War in Iraq, Saddam Hussein did have and did use both biological and chemical weapons. I must have had 1,000 people come through the Tri-State Healing Center, veterans, who talked about the bombs going off at night and suddenly their skin was burning, and then they had all kinds of lung diseases and weakness and cancers. And the government continued to deny all this. And it was Meryl Nass on 6 occasions that went before Congress to give testimony. So she's been a real advocate. And then she started advocating, if you've got COVID, there are non-toxic or safe drugs, FDA-approved off-label drugs like hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and then vitamin C and D, etc., that can help you. And a lot of doctors all over the world have been using these. None of this got into the mainstream media. To the contrary, they were all attacked. So the question is this kind of an Orwellian understanding we're living by today, that lies are truth, that when you honor your patients, the medical community dishonors you and tries to take away your license to practice medicine? That's exactly what I'm saying, because you've seen on this program people like Dr. Cole, one of America's leading pathologists, no longer practices medicine, and all the other people, Dr. Pierre Corey, hundreds of people saving lives, pro-vaccine, frequently getting the vaccine themselves, but then started seeing the side effects we were not told were part of this. They jumped in, used their medical expertise and helped patients, and they started sharing the information. Then there was a worldwide consortium of medical doctors and scientists who were realizing that we didn't have to just wait and do nothing until a person was hospitalized. We could prevent this. Now, the newest research that I have seen shows that about 85 to 90% of all the people who died, that's over 1 million people, that means 800 to 900,000 Americans would be alive today if they took their advice. But they didn't. They took Anthony Fauci's advice and Walensky's advice and others and Collins' advice, all who were wrong, repeatedly wrong. So what did they do? What did they do to reward Meryl Nass? They went after her. My guest now, who also has degrees from MIT, medical doctor, never a problem historically. Now she ran into the machine, and the machine's tough. Welcome to our program. The forum is yours. Explain your case, where it's at, what they charged you with, and why this is of concern should be to all Americans, when those in the front line who are noble and honest, educated and decent, do the right thing, and the Anthony Faucis do the wrong thing and use our Justice Department, our state medical boards, and the media to weaponize all dissent. Take it from there, please.
Thanks. So I'm an internal medicine physician, and I practiced a mix of standard medicine and alternative medicine. I've studied functional medicine for over 25 years, and took care of people with chronic Lyme disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, and other conditions that doctors tended to have difficulty with. I have been known as someone who speaks out for many decades. I fought the anthrax vaccine mandates of the military 25 years ago, and more recently was involved with Gulf War Syndrome and identified the biological warfare use, an anthrax epidemic in Zimbabwe, which was in Rhodesia during its civil war. And I published that paper over 30 years ago. In this case, the state apparently, or the federal government more likely, was looking to, they had to stop doctors using hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And it was very difficult to stop them because these are legal drugs, they're licensed drugs, and you can use them off-label. It's perfectly legal, and it always has been, and most doctors and most pharmacists knew that. So the way it was determined to stop doctors was to use a few doctors as examples and, you know, give them national media attention and take away their licenses, because the worst thing you can ever do to a doctor is to take away their license. That basically means they are no longer a doctor. Their whole view of themselves is destroyed. They have done something so terrible that they can never practice their profession, which gave them, you know, so much regard in society. So it's almost like wearing a scarlet letter on your forehead if you lose your license. And doctors commit suicide when that happens often. They lose their marriages. So the state went after me. First, they had two anonymous complaints, and all they said was I was spreading misinformation on the internet. And neither one would specify what exactly I had said that was misinformation, and nor would the state. The state asked me to respond, but wouldn't tell me what was the misinformation. So I was just, I don't know what I was supposed to respond to. I think Sherry Tenpenny, another alternative doctor, was treated the same way. Her lawyers responded, but said, you know, we can't defend her since we don't know what she's guilty of. Will you please tell us what she's guilty of? They didn't, and they just suspended her license last week. Now, in my state, actually, suspending a doctor's license is a big deal. And so there is a statute that says what the crimes are, what are the allegations that are so bad that the medical board has the right to suspend a license. And those are things like, you know, killing patients, being a substance abuser, things like that. Forging documents. Well, I hadn't done any of that. There were no allegations that I had done any of the things in the statute. Nonetheless, the board staff and the board members took away my license, immediately suspended it 19 months ago, basically for spreading misinformation. Now, there were two other complaints, one from a midwife, one from a doctor who had treated patients that I treated, who simply told the board that I was using hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. They didn't say that it had harmed the patients, and that no patients complained. There have never been any patient complaints against me, and no malpractice cases ever in 42 years practicing medicine. But so there were these two complaints that I was using these off-label drugs, which is legal. And there was one more complaint that I made myself to the board that they decided to showcase. I told them that because the board was whispering to pharmacists that the pharmacists were not dispensing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to patients, even when they had a perfectly legal prescription to get it, and that this was not legally right. They had the board had no authority to do that. The FDA had no authority. The only way they could stop this from happening was for the FDA to actually take away the license of these drugs. But the drugs, you know, are still safe and effective. So that would have been quite a big deal for FDA to be able to take away the license of the drugs. So they had to come up with something else. And they started with a bunch of doctors, sent hundreds of doctors warning letters, and took away the licenses of a few, but not that many, because it's a big deal. And it's such a big deal that doctors are likely to fight back. And as I said, in my case, they didn't have grounds to do it. I was 70 years old at the time, and so I was never going to make enough money in the future practicing medicine to be able to pay legal fees that have mounted to about $500,000. So the board felt safe that they could pick me out, an old doctor. They could use me as an example, send press releases around the country, you know, get me in the Miami Herald, the San Francisco Chronicle, Time Magazine, The Hill, you know, lots of hit pieces against this terrible doctor who was giving drugs off-label to COVID patients. And so they took my license away, and they hoped that was going to be the end of it and they'd get their publicity. But because I worked for Children's Health Defense, Bobby Kennedy had said at the time, he was not running for president then, that Children's Health Defense would pay for my defense. And so I have been fighting the board legally. We have been involved in a hearing over the last year. It's still going on. We've had the final witnesses last month, actually the end of July. And so the board dropped most of the allegations before we even started the hearing because they knew that prescribing off-label drugs was legal. So they just dropped it, even though they had threatened me with it up to that point. They said, we don't want to talk about vaccines anymore because they know the vaccines are harmful and they didn't want to give me a soapbox to talk about that. So we're not charging you with saying mean things about the vaccines anymore. And misinformation, that's a First Amendment right. Everybody can say whatever they want unless they're harming someone else. Well, I didn't harm anybody by telling them the truth about vaccines or drugs or COVID. So misinformation is a fake crime that the federal and state governments want people to think is illegal, but it isn't. We have a First Amendment right. Free speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of publication, print, you know, freedom of the press. We can say whatever we want, whenever we want it, and you can't take someone's medical license away or put them in jail because of it. And unfortunately, the WHO and the federal government has continued to push out this idea that actually misinformation is a real thing, disinformation is a real thing, they're crimes, and we have to go after people and stop it. And in fact, they've claimed that it was terrorist activity at times. So now, I have been without a license for 19 months. I cannot practice or write prescriptions. Unfortunately, this happened when we were in the middle of a strong wave of COVID, and so a lot of people in my state could not get prescriptions for the drugs they wanted. There were only two of us openly writing those prescriptions, and the board immediately suspended both of our licenses. Now, in September, we go back. The attorney general and my attorney will make their closing arguments, and then the board will vote whether to penalize me for whatever crimes they determine I've committed, because I don't think I've committed any. And I think that our witnesses made clear, including the three patients whose cases were at issue, made clear that they were happy with their care and they didn't think I'd done anything wrong.
Well, Meryl, unfortunately we're out of time for this segment. We'll follow up on that. My suggestion is that you ask Bobby Kennedy, since he has hundreds of lawyers and researchers working for him this time, why doesn't he consider doing a documentary into the background of every one of those board members and the Attorney General of Maine and all the other people who were on the side of the government and show how they don't have science, they don't have the Constitution, they have nothing on their side except power. Thank you very much, and we'll provide you with the form in September so you can tell us the outcome. We're going to take a break and be right back. Please stay with us. That was Dr. Meryl Nass, N-A-S-S. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I just heard last night that today, I believe, or tomorrow, the Meryl Nass will be suing each of the board members, so they've taken the fight to them. Now, it's rare for someone to have the funds and the legal team to do that. But with Robert Kennedy behind her, now she's fighting back. Good for her. Almost always people acquiesce. And by the way, that's also true in our justice system. If you only knew how many people were innocent who are in prison, I've heard figures as high as 40%. And even those who've been arrested and they're given a lesser, let's say, take the plea at a lesser charge. We'll make it go from a felony to a misdemeanor. So the person says, okay. They don't have the money to get a lawyer and get out completely, have a chance being free. That's just some of what's wrong with our judicial system. But boy, these people at the state level, the federal level, they can bankrupt people and do. And yet, I've known her a long time. She's been right about everything she's written and everything she's shared. When you take a look at the larger picture, you assume that the taxpayer money goes to fund agencies that are working on the public's behalf. What if they're not? It doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican. I'll give you an example. This is CIA Director Mike Morrell speaking with Charlie Rose about what his ideas were for Assad. Keep in mind, everything you were told about Assad was wrong. It was lies, all propaganda. And we wanted his oil, and we got his oil. That's why his own citizens are frequently in dire poverty, because they don't have the revenue to subsidize all the social programs they had, including paying for food. And but don't listen to me. Listen to Seymour Hersh, and he wasn't killing his own people. And all the other journalists, at least six other award-winning journalists, independent of one another, went in, met with Assad, talked with the people, looked at the evidence, and found that it wasn't Assad who was the problem. It was the United States, all right, and its secret efforts at funding terrorist groups. Oh, didn't you know that we funded terrorist groups? Yeah, we did under the Obama administration. Why do you think no one from any of the intelligence committees, either in the House or the Senate, ever came forward and said, we've got a problem? The CIA is a rogue group. They're doing what they want to do. Why do you think that there were no hardball questions asked of Hillary Clinton? Because it was against the law what they were doing. The Obama administration, everyone associated at the top level, the policymakers, they knew that taking the weapons, these were not weapons of mass destruction, just the weapons from the armories of Gaddafi, bring them through a closed embassy in Benghazi, and then shipping them out at night on boats that would go across to the north part of Syria. And that way those weapons would go to al-Nusra. It's a terrorist group. Then they fought against Assad. What if the public knew that? Think of all the people that have been fired. So you think these people are highly ethical? You think they're highly moral? Here's, in his own words, unedited, this is former CIA Director Mike Morrell speaking with Charlie Rose. Listen carefully what he's saying. Okay. But Charlie, why didn't you respond? This is on PBS. Why didn't you respond and say, okay, so you're not looking to kill or assassinate, eliminate with extreme prejudice. Remember Charlie Sheen going out to kill the colonel, played by Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now? We're not going to blow his head off. No, that's the word we can't handle. Eliminate with extreme prejudice. So we keep sanitizing what amounts to the same thing. But he's already acknowledged he's going to kill all these other people. And all the people around Assad, and blow up his planes and everything else. Well, that's pretty much what has happened. And not a word. And you don't even have someone capable of challenging him on that. Now let's go to this U.S. general. This is recent, very recent. And instead of going into Africa to heal what had been the Belgium Congo from, you know, Leopold, a mass murder, same level of sociopathic tendencies as Adolf Hitler, and he killed at least 10 million Africans. And thank goodness they changed the name from the Belgium Congo. But instead of going into every country, the 54 countries in Africa, and say, what can we do to help your country survive the famine, or to help your population, to put in wells so you have drinking water? Instead, we go in and, if you're not on our side, geopolitically, ideologically, we kill you. Think not. Listen to this short clip.
The U.S. military is training third world coup leaders again. Americans should be experiencing an uneasy sense of deja vu. In the last 2 years, U.S.-trained officers have overthrown West African governments at least four times. There are indications that other graduates have undermined civilian governments in other portions of the continent, but U.S. military officials have been less than informative. U.S. Africa Command, AFRICOM, can't explain why there has been such a surge in coups. Indeed, AFRICOM insists that it doesn't even know how often they've happened. The position reflects convenient ignorance at best. So we're in Africa, our military. I just told you about in Niger, where they just had a coup. We have 1,000 soldiers there. Plus, we have a military base there, a drone base. Plus, France has 1,200 soldiers in Niger. And we keep, and so all over Africa, we're training all these people to fight terrorism. I've heard one military expert say at least 50,000 soldiers we've trained in Africa. And then they're doing coups all over the place. Niger Mutiny, another U.S.-trained military officer led a coup. So U.S.-trained military officers have taken part in 11 coups in West Africa since 2008. This seems like a coincidence.
That seems like more than I would have guessed the number. Didn't think it's 11 more on top of the ones I already...
So watch this. The U.S. military trains militias in Africa to overthrow governments that don't want to kneel to the U.S. empire. So that's what's going on. That's what's been always going on. And that's why we killed Gaddafi, because he wouldn't bend to the U.S. empire. The U.S. military trains militias in Africa to overthrow governments that don't want to kneel to U.S. empire and hand over their natural resources. Here's Matt Gaetz is going to... This is the general in charge of illegally spreading democracy in Africa. You want to see this? Watch this.
General Langley, I have constituents that have been scattered across Africa on train and equip missions. So just ballpark, in the last decade, how many Africans has the United States military trained and equipped?
Congressman, I don't have that figure. I can get that figure for you.
Ballpark. Just, you know, how many?
No, Congressman, it would be a wild guess. Right?
Seems like something we should know, right?
Over the years, we have trained a substantial number, especially in the Gulf of Guinea states. But
more than 10,000?
It is more than 10,000.
More than 50,000?
I'd say we're reaching around 50,000
okay.
At least.
And what percentage of the people we've trained end up participating in insurrections or coups against their own government?
Very small number. Very small number.
What percentage do you think?
I'd say probably less than 1%.
But it does happen.
The IMF program is in force and we've pushed a significant number through our schools across the
military. And what data sets do you track to arrive at the conclusion that less than 1% of the roughly 50,000 that we've trained have participated in coups? Because it'd be like about 500, about 1% of 50,000.
Congressman, you may have that information. I don't at this time. I know
there are some, right? Like go ahead and throw up that image. This is Colonel Mamadé Doumbouya, and this is a photo of him. Did we train and equip him?
Yeah.
In Guinea?
By name, I cannot identify that.
Well, that guy in the middle with the big red hat, Colonel Mamadé Doumbouya, that's him with a bunch of U.S. service members outside of our embassy. And just months after this photo was taken in 2021, he led a coup in Guinea and threw out the leader. Does that concern you?
Congressman, core values is what
core
we start
values.
With in IMA programs.
Do we share core values with Colonel Doumbouya?
Core values. I will repeat that. Core values.
I know.
Respect for humanity.
Do we share those values
Okay, but the minimum amount is 11 African governments have been destroyed. And that includes Gaddafi's government with about 50,000 killed and millions displaced and dispersed in a country that now offers to sell African slaves in an open market when Gaddafi had in Libya the number one most advanced country in Africa. Longest lifespans, longer than the average American. Better education, a higher percentage of Libyan citizens were college graduates than is a percentage of America. Best health care, all free. If you couldn't be held in Libya, they would fly you to any place in the world, pay all expenses, medical, hotel, transportation. And whatever you were an expert in when you got a college degree, if you couldn't find a job, you were paid that amount that you would make if you had the job. Who else does that in the world? No one. And he was able to do that because he has one of the world's largest supplies of sweet crude oil, highest valued oil. And what happened to that oil? Oh, American-related firms are using it. Who took over all the oil fields of Saddam Hussein? Oh, American, you know, neocon companies, of course. And who's tracking hundreds of trucks per day with Syrian oil, stealing it out of Syria? And yet the average person doesn't cover it because none of this is covered in the media. Why? Because they all learned a lesson from Frank Church back in, around 1974, where he brought the head of the CIA, who acknowledged publicly in hearings that the CIA had been infiltrated all the media in the United States. Well, it's only gotten a lot worse since then. And yet, to say thank you for Frank Church for having the courage to expose the CIA, he was voted out of office the next election. So we're confronting that. And here's something else we're not yet confronting as a nation, but we should. Let me be clear on this. I support and have my whole life, because personal friends of mine are gay, men and women, and they're just as nice a human being as you can be. And I've worked with thousands of gays who had AIDS. Again, nice a human being you can be. And their sexual preference, whatever it is, I support that. They have a right to that. It's their life. Honor them in their choices. I don't know trans men, but I know certainly trans women. I work with them. Nice, wonderful human beings. My problem is when you start grooming young children to believe that they should suffer from an identity dysphoria when they're very young, when all children go through different transitions. Let them have whatever belief they want. That's fine. But don't get them into hormones. Don't get them into surgery. You wouldn't allow them to get a driver's license. You wouldn't allow them to vote. And at 4 years old, they shouldn't be taught this. This is a four-year-old young girl. Listen to what she is saying.
If you want girl parts and you don't have them, you can do special surgery where they turn your penis inside out and there's a vagina inside.
Someone has groomed her to believe that. You know what you're not seeing? You're not seeing all of the medical indications that a person should think about before they have that, adult or child, to know there's going to be consequences. You haven't seen all of the videos that are all over the internet of people who transitioned thinking that they would be happier and weren't, and then had surgery, so now they're transitioning back, but without the ability to have a sex life, and all the damage done by the hormones. And yes, there's lots of damage. But this is going on now, real serious. Shouldn't we pay attention to this and have open and honest discussions? We should. Oh, and one of the worst acts ever passed in the history of American legislation is the Patriot Act. It is under the Patriot Act that we have the militarization of the police. We have the secret wiretapping under Obama, who was caught and nothing occurred to him. And this was lied by Clapper, head of the National Security Agency. Nothing happened to him, lying to Congress on this. But who actually created the Patriot Act? Do you know? Well, here's someone who created the Patriot Act. See if you know who this is.
Does anybody here in the audience know who wrote the Patriot Act or when it was written? This will blow your mind.
Civil libertarians were opposed to it. Right after 1994, and you can ask the Attorney General this, because I got a call when he introduced the Patriot Act. He said, Joe, I'm introducing the act basically as you wrote it in 1994. It was defeated then not by any liberals. It was defeated then by the folks who worried that we'd have the Minutemen would get in trouble, by the Mr. Barrs of the world, who were worried about the right wing, not anything else. And just that has nothing to do with you all, but just to set the record straight. Almost the same thing that got passed, the Patriot Act, was introduced by me in 1994, and it was the right wing that defeated it. You guys tried to help get it passed, including the wiretap changes and the rest.
Joe Biden. Well, how about that? Now, for those who continue to support the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act, where they can arrest you without habeas corpus, they can put you in prison and you're not allowed to make a phone call, you're not allowed to have a lawyer, you're not allowed to know what you're being held against, they could hold you there to get the rest of your life. And get this, the President of the United States is authorized with complete freedom to choose to have you killed if he chooses or she chooses to. All right? And yet, these have not been challenged. They've been funded every year by Bernie Sanders and all the liberals. Wow. Start using another term. Don't call yourself liberal anymore because you're not. Why not fascist? Neo-fascist, mini-fascist, mini-me-fascist, major fascist, lunatic fascist. We've got a full spectrum there. I'd like to hear what you think. Give us a call. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now, mind you, they wouldn't be able to pass bad laws. They wouldn't be able to invade other countries. They wouldn't be able to colonize and steal resources from poor nations and keep them in bondage. They wouldn't be able to do any of this if you protested. But first, you have to know it's happening, which means you'll never find out any of this from the mainstream media. These people are completely compromised, totally captured. And your legislators... Not every legislator in Congress on either side is completely corrupt, sociopathic, sadistic, mean-spirited, criminal mind. I'm being optimistic. There may be 2% that are okay. Well, 2% can't stop legislation. 2% can't pass legislation. So now you know we have some of the stupidest, but 100% of the people in California in their legislature, I wouldn't trust them for anything. The new rules are passing, the laws are passing. But I'm going to give you a former legislator from California, an upcoming interview, who's going to tell you the truth about how everything gets done in California, and it's all corrupt. I'd like to hear from you now, 888-874-4888. But in the interim, I'm going to share something new that is important. On the line, we have Dr. Roy Spicer. He got his PhD in microbiology from Rutgers University. He is well known for being one of America's leading water scientist. And Roy's here to tell us, A, the problems, and B, a brand new solution. If you're concerned about the water you're drinking or exposed to, and you should be, and the pollutants that are in there, even ones you can't see with the naked eye, and you should be. Nice to have you with us today, Roy.
Nice to be with you, Gary.
Tell us the problem, then tell us the solution.
There's a new threat to our drinking water supplies that is causing very severe health issues. These chemicals have been detected over a period of years and now have emerged as the greatest threat to our water supply. The Environmental Protection Agency has called these forever chemicals an urgent public health and environmental issue. These chemicals come from many sources. They're called forever chemicals or everywhere chemicals. They've been dumped in our water supply by industries. They come from firefighting foams, household cleaning products, stain-resistant furniture, Teflon. These are all sources of these chemicals. Now, in our water supply, they've emerged, and they're new levels of this threat that are very, very low. These are the most severe chemicals known to date. They're toxic at parts per trillion, not parts per billion or million, parts per trillion. So these are called PFAS chemicals. They disrupt our endocrine system. They can affect our hormones. They are linked to kidney and testicular cancer and also liver and thyroid problems and many other health disorders. All the filters that are out on the market today cannot remove them unless they have special filter materials that can remove these chemicals. The new Gary Knoll upgrade filters have been tested for PFAS reduction to the new standard 53, and 7 of these chemicals were tested. And they removed, the filters removed up to 95% of these chemicals, up to 400 gallons of water if you have 2 of these filters. So the double unit that you are offering has the capability to not only remove fluoride chemicals, chlorine, chloramine, but the new PFAS chemicals can be removed up to 95%. So it's very important that all your listeners have these type of filters, because 45% of the water supplies in the United States have detected these PFAS chemicals, and it's spreading rapidly throughout the United States drinking water systems. If any of your listeners have a single or double Gary Noel water filter unit already, they can upgrade the filter units they have with one or two of these filters. So in addition to these PFAS chemicals, the systems, your filters can remove chloramine, fluoride, lead, metals, glyphosate, pharmaceutical compounds, and a whole array of toxic substances. So this is the latest upgrade. I highly recommend that everyone have these double units, and if they have a single or double unit already, that they upgrade with these filters.
Thank you very much, Roy. We appreciate it. And again, just go up and Google the information he's talking about to show you how dangerous these are in the body. Oh, and by the way, for the first time, they're finding microplastics in people's heart tissue. Yep, that's what happens when we're not paying attention to what kind of products we should be using, foods we should be consuming, water. I have a 500-gallon reverse osmosis system just for the animals. And then I have one for myself. And so the water is 100% clean of the pollutants. But the average person doesn't realize that your body is 72 to 74% water. Don't you want the healthiest water going in your body? Some people, they don't care. Okay, then that's a dangerous mindset to have. That's kind of like a friend of mine who weighed about 300 pounds, was a big weightlifter, and didn't care about, you know, little tiny microbes, you know, that you can't even see. Well, one day he ate what the Syrians call kibbeh, which is kind of raw meat with some garlic and onion in it, and then wrapped in some dough. And next day he was sick as can be, because one of those little microbes, so small you can't see it, brought this 300-pound weightlifter into bed, curled up like he was an infant. So pay attention. Pay attention to the quality of what you bring in, sanitation, proper hygiene. It makes a difference. You can order yours by calling 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. And if you've already ordered a single or double filter, you can also see now, we just posted this morning, where you can get these new filters by themselves. But it's a relatively small investment for something that you're going to use for years, that can make sure each day you, your pets, you know, everybody drinks clean water. And also, as far as I know, our first week of the retreat is filled up, but we have two spaces open for week two of our upcoming health retreat, the last 2 weeks of September. And there's going to be a lot of great stuff going on there, lots. And people can go and relax, cleanse, detoxify, have wonderful input. Some of the most positive staff I could find, people like Dr. Peter Resnick, are going to be there giving lectures, and I'll be there giving lectures. Luann's going to be there. She lectures on Friday, but otherwise she counsels people every day. But we have Ceci in the water aerobics and in the gym. We're going to be taking people out for their power walks, cooking classes, sprouting classes, and all this is going to happen. So there's nothing like it. Give yourself a break. Give yourself a treat. Call Luann at 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. And if you didn't watch last night's Progressive Commentary Hour, download it from the archives. It is powerful. I forgot to mention it yesterday on the air. It is really, really powerful. Have a nice day, everyone.